Off the Ball Breakfast.
Fairly extraordinary feeling. Just stood up and I just stood there in silence for a couple of minutes. I actually could not believe what I just seen. It was absolutely remarkable.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.
Sarah Donovan decided not to go on a mad one last night, so thank you very much for doing that for us, Sarah. You're very welcome and congratulations.
Yeah, a double, a treble double.
Yeah.
Yeah, a hard done and only done three times by Cork. So this competition started in 2006. Cork won it that year. They won it in 2018. We lost two in 2022. So I'd say the group of girls that were going up yesterday were thinking, God, what if we lose both again and the misery of that? So to do the double yesterday was very special.
It's interesting because that has been, like Aisling, you mentioned that as well a few minutes ago, this isn't disconnected to what Hannah Looney's reflex was with a microphone in front of her yesterday. She wasn't overly prompted, but like within about two questions, she's talking about going again next year and the potential to try and win a string of All-Irelands. We're looking at a potentially dominant county in Camogie?
Yeah, I suppose the last 3 years we've had Kilkenny, Cork, Galway. Every year it's changed hands. So trying to do the back-to-back was elusive for everyone. And Cork achieving it yesterday, you know, incredible. But I think the bit is between their teeth now. Very young team for the majority. And those are the players now trying to drive this on, want to do the three in a row. In 2007, we were stopped from doing the three in a row by Wexford, who went on to do a three in a row themselves, and they're the last team to do it. So I think, I know Gemma O'Connor was talking about it on the RT podcast, that, you know, her great team didn't achieve it. So it's definitely something for this Cork team to be a generational team would need to win three in a row.
It does feel as well that there's still a little bit of hurt from the two All-Irelands that they lost a few years ago as well. Like you hear management saying that we should be going for five in a row next year. And like anybody outside of Cork is like, that seems very unreasonable given you've won back-to-back All-Irelands. You should be cherishing all the victories you have. But it turns out sometimes that the best people, the most ruthless winners are the most petty and the ones that remember the defeats, even in times of glory.
Oh, look, I think Carl Murray's interview with you, Aisling, was so raw. Like he has two and they're very recent. It's not like, you know, the Cork Hurlers 2013 and 2021 and 2024. Kyle was so raw yesterday about losing this, and I think this is one that's going to hurt him the most, but yet he has two in the bag since 2019. The rivalry between the three teams is so close, or has been so close, Cork, Kilkenny, Galway, that every game has been a puck of a ball, and when you lose games by those small margins, that's where the hurt is, I think.
Yeah, you could definitely get that sense, and even that they've won the intermediate now, so they won't be able to play in the intermediate championship next year. And I'm looking at those girls that are playing in that intermediate team thinking, how so many of them aren't on the senior panel as well. They've obviously got the balance right, obviously winning the two of them they have. But my God, they're going to be pushing to get onto that senior team now.
That's it. The problem is that once you win the medal, you're removed from next year's selection. But also, we spoke about this last week, the Camogie Association want the second teams out of this competition because they want to obviously improve the competition for the likes of Kerry and Offaly, who are in the semi-finals. If Kerry and Offaly were in the semi-finals yesterday, the colour that would have added to Croke Park. It was amazing to have Cork there. It was amazing to have Tip there. But bringing Kerry in, bringing Offaly in would have certainly added a dimension to it. The Camogie Association are saying, right, we're going to remove the second teams to give these smaller areas, you know, an opportunity to be in Croke Park, to be dominant. What do you do with those amazing players?
Yeah.
You only have, you know, 30 places on a panel. You've got 60 players now vying for 30 places in Cork. What's the carrot to stay if there's no Croke Park? That's the disappointing part about this.
Do you think it's right that they can't compete in it anymore?
I'm gutted for that group of players. There's so many teams in Cork that are producing players that you have to give them somewhere to go. And Croke Park is the pinnacle of everything that a player wants to do and be. What are you going to do if there's only 30 places for that? And that Cork team is so young. That senior Cork team is so young. The development squads are churning out players in Cork. And unfortunately, it's going to be so difficult to give those players a carrot.
Can we start with the goal yesterday?
Sure.
Was it a goal?
So I watched it back, Aisling, just before I came in. It does bounce before the line, but I don't think that's the issue. It's that she threw it.
Okay.
So she didn't.
Oh, she didn't. Okay. Yes,
so she didn't intentionally throw it, but she threw it up. And nobody touched it.
Okay.
So look, the umpires are getting the slack, big time. the umpires are getting the slack. It's that when she throws it up, the two Galway players come at her. There is contact with her, but not with the ball. So it's an illegal.
So if she hand passed and it bounced, it went over your grand. It's just the fact that it was an illegal throw.
It's an illegal throw. She's thrown it up, but obviously, as she's going to strike it, she's intending to strike it, but she gets contact from the Galway players. And obviously, the umpires are looking at it, trying to decide. I don't even think they had an opportunity to decide. I think they just assumed it was a goal. And I suppose the reaction of the two Galway players inside the net, neither of them reacted. Neither of them started waving their hands.
And the puck out goes straight away.
Neither of those players had a thought. You know, if one of them had turned around and, you know, said to the referee, look at this, she definitely threw it. Absolutely.
Colin Murray was making the point afterwards that one of the linesmen said to him that it was going to be a penalty anyway.
Oh, I wouldn't say
both
so.
Were one or both, or neither of them fouled in here.
I think that was a fair contest. Like, right. if it was a penalty.
And Amy wasn't fouled.
As she's coming across.
Potentially, I'd need to watch back again. But I think
there's
there's
a late chop on Amy as she's coming across. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the goal stood.
Yeah.
It's easier to score a goal like that. I think Galway would have preferred for Cork to have to take the penalty and have to get the goal, because the penalties are getting increasingly harder to take,
harder
to score. And you saw some really cynical, brilliant fouls in the intermediate and junior game to stop goal scoring chances. So Galway would have taken a penalty all day long with Sarah Healy in goal, with an opportunity to save it. Yeah.
What did Galway do after the third quarter storm from Cork came? Because at that point you're putting a pin in it, you're like, game over.
It looked to me like Cork retreated slightly. Galway got their hands on the ball. To my mind, Galway got their hands on the ball, got players around the ball. And in the previous years, in the previous contests, they've been brilliant at doing that. The likes of Niamh Kilkenny, the likes of Aoife Donoghue. Lads, Aoife Donoghue had a game for the ages.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
She is such a rock star for Galway and has been the most consistent player for Galway over the past kind of six, seven years. What she left in Croke Park yesterday, and to come away without a medal, I'd say she's sore this morning.
Heartbreaking.
She was incredible. But outside of her, it was just, they were driving at Cork. Cork were on two yellows, centre back, full back. So Izzy O'Regan was on a yellow, Laura Trace was on a yellow. And I'd say Colin Murray said, girls, you go at them, because Liz Dempsey is going to have to give freeze here. But she didn't. And there was a couple of big calls as well later on where she could have given freeze to the letter of the law, but she allowed the game to be so physical. And then there was instances where Galway were, the likes of Carrie Dolan, you know, running at Cork and not taking the sidestep, missing, I suppose, taking a full frontal challenge straight on. I think Laura Tracy at one stage just allowed herself to be kind of hammered, lands on the ground, it's a free out, and everyone's going, How is this fair? That camogie rule is so hard.
I know, big time.
Yeah.
And it's hard for a player. You don't know which way to gauge it.
Yeah.
Do you go straight for it? Are you barging then? Yeah. You know, it's just so hard to gauge.
Yeah.
But I think, as you said there, for Carrie Dolan as well, because they were getting the freeze, she was so on point.
8 points yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had a couple of late chances. She had two. Niamh Mallon had one. There was a big turnover in the second half as well, where three Cork players swarmed around Niamh Mallon. Niamh Mallon's on the ground and Aisling Thompson is standing over saying, we have this one. Like, the intensity of Thompson in that pressure, under that intense pressure from Galway, was insane.
It did feel like one of the big tactics was to take Niamh Mallon out of the game, to marshal her well. And it was Laura Hayes that picked her up.
See, technically, it was Niamh Mallon picked Laura Hayes up. So Laura Hayes is you know, has been gunning forward all season. She's playing, obviously, out of the wing back position. And from the outset, Niamh Mallon was put on her. We've seen her much closer to the goal all season. I think it was a case that if they could get Niamh Mallon on the ball and she was heading for the Cork goal, it meant Laura Hayes wouldn't be coming up the field. But in the first half, in stages, Niamh Mallon was in wing back, having to chase Laura Hayes, who was coming into the wing forward position. So I think that tactic didn't work.
No, because you're taking one of your best scoring threats.
She had an amazing score in the first half, over the shoulder, like, scored the ages. And then in the second half, tried to replicate it under that massive pressure, and she puts it wide. It was inches. It was a game of inches between two incredible teams yesterday. The Galway full back line yesterday didn't put a foot wrong in the first half. the distribution from the Cork backs to the Cork forwards in the first half was poor, but that was as a result of the pressure that Galway were putting on Cork. In the second half, Amy O'Connor and Katrina Mackey headed for the Galway goal, kind of pitched themselves up inside in the Galway goal, pulled the half forward line right out, and then this massive space came. And Orla Callan was immense yesterday. She was popping up everywhere, link player, giving lots of ball. That's what the difference was in the first kind of 10, 15 minutes of that second half for Cork, where they created that space that they couldn't create in the first half.
Yeah. And Aisling Thompson as well. Like, she was just orchestrating things from the middle.
She's like an NFL player.
So
she was
impressive.
Just around, like, just taking hits, making hits. She was incredible.
She just laid off, back into position, laid off, back into position. Like,
and link player, taking the ball from Laura Tracy, moving up the field. Then she's taking a ball from Katrina Mackey to get a score. Like, everywhere. She was like a jigsaw, picking pockets. What an incredible, incredible performance from Aisling yesterday. And last year, she came off the bench. She was the last sub on. She threw off the helmet last year, kind of going, is this it? You know, I haven't even got going here. And she said the medal didn't mean the same. It wasn't the same effort. So for her to come and give a performance like that yesterday. Yeah, she's been on the go. 2015, she was captain. And she scored this ridiculous point from under the stand in Croke Park. And she literally took that Cork team on her shoulders. And a decade later, she's still putting that Cork team on her shoulders. She is an athlete. Yeah. It's incredible.
Let's have a listen to some of what Aisling Thompson had to say afterwards.
Aisling Thompson, back-to-back All-Ireland champion. I saw the relief in your face when that whistle went and you dropped to the floor. What does it mean to you?
Do you know what? Every single All-Ireland is hard, but honest to God, I can't remember the last time we had to work that hard for one. In fairness to Galway, they threw everything at us. They threw the kitchen sink at us. You know, at one point we went up 6 points and I think they got six on the trot. Like, we earned every single ball that we got, every single score. And that's a testament to Galway. But look, I'd rather win an All-Ireland like that than go out and win by 15 points. It honestly, it means everything. When I heard the final whistle, I just said, thank God. Thank
God. You in the middle there, like, you sort of orchestrate the whole thing. And sometimes you have to play really selfishly. You lay the ball off, you get back into position. Well, I'm sure there's times you'd love to bomb forward, but you constantly do the right thing, and that's your game.
Yeah, look, I think at half-time we were just a small bit unsettled around the middle third. You know, they were kind of getting a spare man around the midfield. So we just had to go back and kind of concentrate on ourselves rather than worrying about the opponent and just go back to doing what we do best. But look, as I said, like, Galway threw everything at us. It's a test that we probably didn't get throughout the championship. So, and obviously when you come to Croke Park, it's just different gravy, like. But yeah, look, we settled into the second half well. When the pressure came on, we dealt with it. And yeah, just look, getting over the line, it's all you want, like.
And back-to-back champions, it's not an easy thing to do. It must be sweeter that you have done it now.
Absolutely. I think, you know, good teams win All-Irelands, but great teams win back-to-back. And, you know, you go from being the hunters to the hunted. A bit of both, but that's what we were. We were being hunted this year and we knew everyone was coming for us. So you have to work that bit harder.
So that's her sixth All-Ireland medal yesterday?
Said a decade in sport, and she doesn't look like she's slowing up now. She did a cruciate last year and she's come back better and stronger, and her cruciate time away from the pitch was short as well. So she reminds me of Xena Warrior Princess just throughout the place. Just, oh, she's incredible, and she has been for Cork for so long. But as her performances have kind of come on through the years, her performances are becoming more mature.
Right.
She's going out with Darragh O'Donovan, so yeah. Maybe the, you know, the midfield lingo, you know, he's
That's
a maestro at midfield.
yeah.
She's obviously watching lots of videos, seeing how you link this play. Now, not saying that she owes anything to Limerick, because she's done this on her own, but definitely her performances have matured over the years, and it's the consistency of the performance to deliver that over 60 minutes and to still be giving that over 60 minutes at 34, I think.
34,
Yeah, lads, there's another... Definitely another one in her.
Yeah, like, I mean, she was already a legend before even this pair of All-Irelands. She already has a Lake Regale treatment, right? So, I mean, that's legendary status.
They can't come back to her twice. I don't think we've seen them do it twice. Yeah.
So that status is already assured. Yesterday doesn't necessarily make her a legend. She already absolutely was one. But I assume for example, any of those intermediate players who come into the dressing room next year, or any of the young crop, she's the person you look to. She's the icon in the dressing room.
Yeah, I'd be terrified now if I wasn't working hard enough next to her. So certainly those intermediate players yesterday have a big carrot next year to go after an opportunity to be involved with a Cork team that's going for three in a row. That is a very special Cork team, and you have to call out the likes of Laura Tracy again, centre back. She's put as much into this as Aisling Thompson has, and again yesterday driving out with ball in that first half when Galway were absolutely gunning for Cork. And look, the obituaries piece, Kyle Murray was talking about people writing off Galway for the last 6 weeks. They were, because this Galway team struggled through this year, whereas Cork cantered through the year. They won every game by a minimum margin of, or an average of 19 points. The closest team to them this year was Wexford, who they beat by 9 points. They scored 17 goals, 110 points. Their inside line scored 10 goals and 54 points this year. Cork were absolutely hopping.
Yeah.
And yet, key for the Cork yesterday was the subs' impact, or the finishers' impact, as we'll say. Cork were the only team this year who had the luxury of being able to bring on your four or five subs in every game because they were winning games by so much and giving them a chance to get scores, be confident, get used to the play, and that paid dividends for your Cork yesterday. Saoirse McCartan scored a savage goal against Dublin. Cork didn't need that goal in the semi-final, but she did. Clodagh Finn came on, scored a great point in the semi-final. Orla Mullen scored a great point. Ciara O'Sullivan. It wasn't Cork that needed those scores in the semi-final. It was those players who needed that time on the pitch. And then yesterday, those players come on. Saoirse gets two massive points. And as Cullum said, they were no gimmies, those points yesterday. Clodagh Finn with the sidestep yesterday to get her score.
Brilliant.
Sweet. So I think Cork, that luxury of being able to play those players, play 20 players in every game, really stood to Cork. In the semi-final, Galway brought on the likes of Niamh Nolan, the likes of Heslin. Really good players, lots of potential. And, you know, they've come through from Cork Intermediates and the Galway Intermediates and the Galway Minors. But they didn't have that experience and they missed scores in that Galway semi-final. There was a bit of naivety. There was two goals went to begging. That was the difference. They didn't get an impact off the bench yesterday, Galway.
No, and you're right that Clodagh Finn and Saoirse had got that time on the pitch prior to that game. You could see the confidence in them. And you need that if you're in Croke Park, All-Ireland final day, that they had that behind them. They backed themselves. Yeah. They were like, give me the ball. Like, they wanted to make their mark.
And look, Cork emptied the bench yesterday in not necessarily, it was brave. Like, Hannah Looney was coming off and you were thinking,
But
Maeve Callaghan was coming on and Maeve had a massive game when she came on. Cork replaced their wing back, their centre forward, their full forward, two wing forward and corner forward. So they replaced a third of their team yesterday and got better as they emptied the bench. So that's testament to the squad that they have there. Wouldn't you love to be an intermediate player now? Just like getting a chance to come in there and upset the custard and the Ireland.
Yeah, massive.
You mentioned there like the workload and the sort of dedication that needs to go in to a camp like this. Certainly if you want to be one of the players that breaks through. But it's been very interesting looking at what Germanley was saying afterwards yesterday in terms of what actually went into this All-Ireland. He actually spoke about the time that they didn't spend on the pitch. He said, we gave them a break after the league for 10 days. They had a holiday. We trained hard when they came back and then we took a break again for a week after the All-Ireland series. I think that's the key, that you're not killing the players. I see it with the men's teams. They are killing them. We took it handy the last week. Two hard trainings after the semi-finals and it paid off. And then he also mentions Maeve Callaghan. She had an injury and if it was on a men's team, he'd be out for 3 months. She got back in 6 weeks with the injury she had, and that's the spirit that we've shown all year, which is quite an interesting analysis of the way they went about it this year.
So that comes with having a group of players and a management team that have been together for 3, 4, 5 years. So Germanley's been involved in the background of this team for over 2 years. So when new managers come in, and that's happened a lot in Camogie over the last number of years, there's a tendency to throw the kitchen sink at it to make sure you've left no stone unturned. Whereas Ger knows that this group of players has 9 months of conditioning from the previous year. He knows what they've done. He knows what their strength and conditioning has been like. He knows their peaks and troughs in the season. He, again, another luxury of having a person around the team and around that group for 3, 4 years who knows what the group have done together. I think some managers can get very anxious and like that, do a load of conditioning, you know, run players, get them to trust you. There's a couple of male inter-county managers who have that tendency to try and flog players in an effort to nearly break them and break their will. Mm-hmm. And that's a real sign that a manager knows his team when he can give them the time off to actually recover. And I met Maeve Callaghan after the Dublin semi-final And Cork had obviously beaten Dublin by 20 points and she didn't get to play because obviously she had that hamstring injury and she had only had 2 weeks to get back. And it must have been so nerve-wracking for her these last 2 weeks, wondering would she get to play, knowing she had to push the hamstring, because the likes of Hannah Looney, the likes of Laura Hayes, the likes of Laura Tracy, Izzy O'Regan, I'm naming, you know, four of six backs here, were going so well. There wasn't a chink in their armour and she's wondering, how am I going to get in here? But she put the head down and got herself fit. And crucially in that second half, she came out with three or four balls. She was as required as the four players who were on the pitch, because Cork were gassed at some aspects yesterday. They just weren't expecting that intensity.
Mm.
What was last night like? Surely you had inside access into what the celebrations involved.
I haven't a clue. They were out in the Louis Fitzgerald. I actually saw now, this is a behind the scenes. The girls got back into the Louis Fitzgerald hotel and Marty had to give them a pep talk and said, girls, this is serious now. They all came in their Cork gear, so shorts and t-shirts. And I'd say, he said, you've 10 minutes to come back down here in all your glamour and get this done. It was a very swift turnaround to get them from pitch to table yesterday. And we can credit Marty Morrissey for getting that done after pep talk. So.
I got to speak with Hannah Looney and I was actually doing an interview with Saoirse McCartan, and Hannah jumped in and was like screaming, come on, down, up, down. Like, it's unbelievable when you think of Saoirse, that she... It's 3 years in Cork and two All-Ireland medals.
Yeah.
Obviously, haven't played for Down for so long. And then you look at Niamh Mallon on Galway as well. And they would have been teammates for Down as well. It's a phenomenal story. But anyways, yeah, Hannah was talking about the Riverlea and she was going back down the Riverlea. That's the hope for today.
The Riverlea is not safe. Like, I mean, yeah, I felt so sorry for Down during the championship. They were beaten by Galway by 41 points. And two of their... mainstays,
yeah.
Saoirse and Niamh Mallon, not in the squad. So I'd say it's bittersweet for those two girls. They're both working in Cork and Galway, respectively.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. But for that Down team, 41 points to take that beating, it's hard for them to come out next year and figure out, you know, how they're going to do that without players. That's like Cork giving up Aisling Thompson or giving up Laura Tracy. You know, no. See you, good luck, you're gone. It's...
tough place to be.
It's a very
retirees as well. Like, a lot of the main girls stepped away.
Yeah.
So it's, but there's great camogie in Down. There really is, like within the club scene. Yeah. I'm seeing it all the time. So you would hope that there is girls coming through there, but it's a hard one to take when you see your best players.
Yeah. Look, I'm sure they wish the girls well, but yeah. I suppose the championship this year, as exciting as yesterday was, there were so many one sided games in the championship this year that. The Camogie Association were under pressure during the championship, I'd say, to hide the scores. Like, Antrim got bet by 22 points. I think Tipperary handed out three combined beatings of about 70 points. Like, they were killing teams. And literally, the Camogie Association were putting their head in their hands saying, OK, we've got five competitive teams here in the championship and seven teams that aren't competitive. So... I think the structure is going to change again next year. I think it's back to two groups of five or six from three groups of four. Colin Murray was talking about seedings yesterday and he felt that there needed to be some incentive for winning your group and getting into a semi-final.
He didn't like the space between it, that there was such a long period of time as well. He wasn't happy about that. He was saying, I'm not throwing stones, but it's just an area that I think we need to look at next year.
Yeah, there's lots they need to look at. Unfortunately, the second team issue is going to mean that you've the likes of Cork, Tip and Kilkenny, and they're trying to solve one problem and they'll be creating another problem, because you've got counties that are putting everything into developing players and they're now taking away a competition that's imperative for players to be able to make a stepping stone to senior.
Either way, Cork are going to win it all again next year, is what I'm hearing. Sarah.
Well, look, I'm Kilkenny were incredibly disappointing this year. Their form has fallen off cliff. So whatever about having three at the top, we definitely can't afford to lose Kilkenny. So I think Kilkenny need to really look at themselves this winter and make sure that come the league next year they're properly challenging. And I appreciate there's been players stepped away, but Kilkenny have those intermediates yesterday who put on a massive performance in Croke Park. Show they certainly have the players around the squads to be able to create a competitive squad. It's different for teams like Down and Antrim, where they wouldn't have the numbers, but we can't afford to have Kilkenny falling away. Galway, you know, do the likes of Niamh Kilkenny go for one more?
Yeah.
That's a big question. If Aoife Donoghue was to step away from the Galway team, geez, that'd be a massive loss. And she has given so much to Galway over the years. She deserves a break. We need more competition. We need the best players to stay. And we need Cork to win the treble. That'd be great.
Sarah, we appreciate you not going to Coppers last night. Thanks a million for popping in. Enjoy the rest of the celebrations.